That is that. Okay. We are pressing in towards the end of Mark's Gospel. If you've got your Bibles with you, we're reading now from the chapter 14 of Mark, chapter 14, verse 32, and we're going to read to 52, the end of the story of, first of all, Gethsemane, and then Jesus being arrested. If you're visiting with us, we know it's strange that we are doing, you know, the Passion story in the middle of Christmas. We know that. We're just doing it. So, we've been doing this for about a year now. We're almost finished. We're determined. So anyway, do you know when you don't know this. Have you ever watched those videos on YouTube where basically people have accidents and it's really funny, you know? And actually, you know, and in particular the ones where the guys are on the skateboards and they do stupid things like coming off the top of a roof and they try to land on a handrail. And they don't quite make it. And they land, and all the boys go, yeah, bandit, and don't want to look at it. And you just want to laugh. Well, there are some of those. And then there are some of those ones that you look at, and you just think, alive. I wonder if that person's actually alive. I wonder whether or not they actually survived whatever's just, you know, this thing that I've just watched. And actually what you think is, ooh, I don't think I really would. Have watched that, to be honest. That's not really appropriate. It's like, ooh, it's too much. That's what this is. That's what this passage is. It's like that when you look at something and you think, probably not be looking at this too much. They went to a place called Gethsemane. Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter and James and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more he went away and he prayed the same thing. And when he came back, again they found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, said to them, still sleeping and resting, "Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and teachers of the law and the elders. Now the betrayers had arranged a signal with them. "The one that I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Am I leading a rebellion," Jesus said, "that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted him and fled. A young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus. When they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray that today, as we intrude upon this most intimate of moments, this most poignant of experiences that Jesus had, as we look upon it, Lord, to pray that you would shake us free from the familiarity that we have with this story, that we, once again you would breathe the life of God within it, and we would once again be transported back to that night, back into the darkness, back amongst the experiences of the disciples, fearing the people coming to take them, and Jesus asking these questions. Take us back, that we may see them, not that we would hide ourselves from them, and not that we would hide our emotions from them, but we would enter into the reality of what happened on that night, so that we, Lord, would understand you more, comprehend the fullness of your love for us. For we ask it now, in Jesus' name. There is an unstoppable, overwhelming sense of the march of God, Jesus Christ, to the cross of Calvary, in the story that we've been reading. It's like day by day, moment by moment, experience by experience, opportunity by opportunity, and choice by choice, Jesus says again and again, I choose you. It's like he's marching along and to the beat of that drum. I choose you. 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 That's what it's like. As you read the story, we get it in segments, we get it in bits, we don't hear the rhythm. But if you read it, and if you read that whole week, if you hear the decisions that he was making, the choices that he made, the fact that he knew before that this would be a walk that would lead him to the cross of Calvary, he is saying day by day and every moment, I choose you. He's saying, I will not turn away from rescuing you. I choose you. As if he knew everything that was going to happen to him, and yet he still said, I choose you, I choose you, I choose you, I choose you. And it was not because we look back with hindsight and we look back with history and we know what happened. It was not an empty choice. This is the thing that I cannot get over, that I cannot comprehend. That actually he could have said no. He could have said no. He could have said it's too much. He was free. He didn't have to do this. He was free. He did not have to do this. Yet with every day, with every moment, with every hour, he said, I choose you. I choose you. And so here we are in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here we are in the moment of Jesus' greatest anguish. And we need to understand that he was a man. He was 33 years old. He was in the prime of his life. He did not want to die. He didn't want to go and be beaten. He didn't want to go and die. He didn't want any of that. His flesh was crying out saying no, but his spirit was saying yes. And he disciplined himself. He said no. I will not turn away. I will not stop. I choose you. And all we hear through the years and years and years and years that have passed is that echo of a Savior who has chosen us, who would not turn away, who would not be put off, who would not choose to make it easy on himself, but instead chose us. I wonder if he understood the fullness of what it was that he was doing. I wonder whether or not he actually comprehended exactly how this would play out. You know, he knew that it was the right thing to do. He knew that he was going to die. But did he know how God would use it? Did he understand fully what would happen? I'm not sure. In the midst of his uncertainty, even of these things, Jesus knew enough to say, I am going above everything else, above my own personal comfort and lead over my own life. But the part that has got me this week is actually It's actually the verse 36. It just says, Abba, Father. He said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what he. There was someone else in the garden that night. Someone that wasn't, that we couldn't see. Someone that we didn't actually hear. What we recognize is the silence of the suffering Father. I don't know if you thought about that. But this week I've been overwhelmed by it. To hear your son plead and not to move heaven and earth, which you could have done, but God would love us so much, he would give his only son. The Father stayed his hand. No, he could have rent heaven and come down, even though he had angels who were looking at him, I'm sure, sort of saying, you're not going to let this happen. Surely he's not going to let this happen. But God would forego his ability to be able to rescue his only beloved son. Because in the heart of God, in the heart of the Father, was that same drumbeat. I choose. Some foolish things have been said recently by other people about the fact that in some way Father was some sort of described as some sort of talking about this. Because they said, you know, what kind of father would let their son would do this to their son? Father didn't do this to the son. Son chose this. Father allowed it. Father's heart was breaking. As any of us who are fathers or mothers, hearts would break if we had our child pleading. Such foolishness that you think that. Father stayed his hand because the very heart of God is that same beat that was so clearly heard there with Jesus. The other thing that people sometimes say is that actually of what happened Friday night at the pub in town with the helicopter and all this. People say things like, where was God when all that happened? Where's God when all the suffering in the world happens? He's distant and remote. He can't understand. And you just have to read this passage. Understand that this is a God who understands entirely what it is to suffer. Entirely what it is to look on and to see those that we love hurt. He understands our suffering. He is in the midst of our suffering. He is alongside us in our suffering. Father was there that night. Father was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was there. On allowed these things to happen, not because he longed for suffering to happen, not because he enjoys that thing, but because he knows that in the great purposes, that the only way to allow us to experience the love of God and to be set free forever is that we would come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He would not be able to do that unless he had gone to the cross to die for our sins. And so, in the greatness of God, he allowed suffering of his son, brokenhearted as he would have been, Because he here on that night, where we see the anguish of Jesus' soul, the moment where they talk about the night of the dark night of the soul, here is the greatest test of all, the test about who are we actually going to be? Who was Jesus in that moment, in that time where he was tested beyond, it felt like beyond endurance, prevailed. We find ourselves answering that question when those testing times come upon us. Who are we going to be? What are we going to do? What are we going to become? What are we going to make of our life? What are we going to achieve? What are we going to spend our life on? This is a moment where Jesus made a decision about what he was going to spend his life on. Incredible that he would spend it on me. Incredible that he would spend it on you or on us. But he did. That was the choice that he made. That's what he decided on the dark night of his soul. He was asked the question, what will you spend your life upon? He decided, I'm going to spend my life upon overwhelmed by the love of God. Overwhelmed that moment by moment, that beat of the heart of God was I choose. My response is this. Every day I recognize that I'm like Peter. Spirit is willing. But every day I recognize that that message of God, that invitation, is one to which I can respond. Father, we're just overwhelmed. God, I'm overwhelmed by your love and by your kindness. It's just, it's too much. It's just beyond comprehension. It's just, it's something that none of us can really get our heads around, that you would love us this much. Jesus, that you would give yourself willingly, that you would step up for us, that you would spend your life on us. That's what you decided on that dark night of your soul, you were clear on, oh God, I ask that when we get to those moments in our life, you would make us as clear as that too. That we would give our lives for you, that we would spend our lives for the King and for the kingdom, that we would not turn away, that we would not do it in lesser things. Oh God, how our life is wasted on lesser things. Please, God, we pray, help us to spend our life for the kingdom and for the King. Because, Lord Jesus, today we want to respond to the heartbeat of God. We want to respond to the heartbeat that says that you have chosen us by saying, and we choose you too. We choose you too. We respond in love to you too. We are so grateful, Lord. Help us to be more grateful. Help us to comprehend once more at a deeper level just what it meant for you to do what you did. Help us, Lord, hear the drumbeat of heaven. Help us day by day to hear it more and more, so that as we do, we would be overwhelmed by your love and transformed by it at the same time. Father, hear that. Abandoned Jesus. That you were there. You were there on that. understand suffering, but you understand the pain this morning over the loss of the loved ones. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen them. Lord, we heard the story running towards the danger. Lord, sense that there's something of that call upon us to. That's what Jesus would want us to do. Make us people who, when we see danger, when we hear about difficulty, when we come across the difficult, broken things of this world, then instead of going into our safe, secure place, we run towards the danger, because we carry the kingdom with us. So Lord God, we pray that you make your way amongst us. Take us deeper and deeper into you. Worship God.